Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Ira Hobbs. Ira is the Deputy Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the co-chair of the Federal CIO Council Workforce and Human Capital for IT Committee. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Jim Martin. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Well, Ira, let's start by talking about the Federal CIO Council. Who's a member of the organization and what's its mission?
Well, Paul, the Federal CIO Council is basically composed of the chief information officers from the large cabinet departments with representatives from a number of our smaller agencies. These generally are the people who are responsible for setting information technology policy, information management policy, and helping to drive the modernization of federal organizations. A very energetic and exciting group of people, most of which, because of the nature of their work, are all about change. And so it's a very fun group to work with, but a group that gets a lot accomplished. It's headed by Karen Evans, who is the e-government administrator for the Office of Management and Budget, and I might add a former chief information officer with the Department of Energy. So it's a good group of people to be affiliated with, good group of people to work with.
Give us a sense of the big picture. What type of IT jobs exist in the federal government, and sort of a percentage of the total, how many people in government are doing IT work?
Well, if you go strictly by, you know, the dues-paying, card-carrying occupations, you're talking about roughly about 70,000 people. But when you really start to think about it, who today in their job isn't doing information technology? So we look at all of our federal employees as information technology professionals, as information management workers. In terms of occupations, you know, the federal government runs from, you know, the bottom to the very top. We're still doing data processing. We're still doing data entry. But at the same time, we're into cybertronics. We're into cybersecurity. We're into enterprise architecture planning. We're doing capital planning and investment. We have folks that are developing data architectures. We have folks who are doing application development, telecommunications, you name it. The federal government, because of its size and just how big it is, you're going to find represented in every someplace within our organization people who are performing every aspect of information technology work and as information technology professionals as you might expect to find in the world.
Ira, in addition to being a deputy CIO for USDA, you're the co-chair for the Federal CIO Council Workforce and Human Capital for the IT Committee. What are the objectives of this committee?
Well, Jim, you know, I actually got started with that back about 1999. A very good colleague, no longer with the federal government, Ann Reed, really got me involved in that. What the council, what the workforce committee is really about, we're kind of that human capital aspect of the full council itself. Our job is to look both beyond the horizon and currently today and figure out what are the kinds of things that we need to be doing for our human capital, for those people who are involved in information technology in terms of how we recruit them, how we retain them, how we train them, and how we make utilization of their valuable skills in the delivery of information technology from a federal government perspective. It's about people, and that's what this committee is about, understanding how our people work and how we can help them better perform the jobs that they're assigned on a day-to-day basis.
How do the things you do support the CIO's Council's mission that you just described?
Well, you know, it's been a long time, and I guess I haven't seen in my lifetime a computer that turns itself on. Most computers are turned on by people, and so all of our federal CIOs have IT workforces. Okay, you know, there's always been this issue about how do we plan succession-wise, always this issue about retirements looming on the horizon. So it helps support the mission by, one, helping us to understand that a lot of the problems and issues we have are in common. And if problems are in common, so can solutions. It takes us and it focuses our energy so we're doing like and similar things across our workforce. Because an IT professional in the Department of Transportation is no different than an IT professional in the Department of Agriculture. They have wants, they have desires, they have fears, they have aspirations. And what we do as a committee is we help routinize that process, bring a level of consistency so that best practices in one agency are shared with others so that we as a federal government work to the extent practical as an enterprise in our relationship with our workers and with our people. And that's how we believe we're providing a very important tactical element to how the CIO Council operates across the government.
What are your responsibilities and duties as the co-chair of the Human Capital for IT Workforce Committee?
Well, most folks say that when you're in charge of something, that means you're responsible for it. I like to think just the opposite. The people who are really in charge of it are the people who work for me. And so what I do is I channel and articulate the things that they do. I'm very fortunate and very blessed to have a very active co-chair, Janet Barnes, who's the chief information officer for the Office of Personnel Management. But in addition to that, I got about 25 federal employees who do this on a part-time basis like it's their only job. And that means they give a lot. And so what I do is I try to guide and direct, but I got a lot of people who are filling the gaps, really providing the work, and really looking at the issues from a priority sense of what we consider to be most important as it relates to our issues around human capital.
Can you tell us a little bit about your previous experiences before becoming the deputy CIO at USDA and the Human Capital for IT Workforce?
Well, you know, I'm at the age and the point where I hate to start looking back because that's such a long, long time ago. But a kind of quick thumbnail sketch, you know, I came into the government as a presidential management intern. That's how I got here. I was very fortunate to be in an agency where they allowed me to fully explore the government as an intern. And so I had an opportunity to work in a number of different areas, both financial management, human resource management, and in the area of budget and finance. And, you know, I kind of got into information technology, believe it or not, almost as a side issue. But I've had progressively responsible positions in both financial management, human resource management, served a time as director of operations for the Department of Agriculture, and served as its senior procurement executive before I got back into the information technology area. So I've had a very diverse career, an opportunity to work in a lot of different areas, which has given me, I think, a much keener insight about government, how it works, how you're able to pull things together to be effective. And so I think it's very important that you have diversity in your career. And so about every 3 to 5 years, I try to move on and do something a little bit different, you know, because I think it just helps me to be a better manager and therefore to be a better executive.
Well, I was going to ask you, what was the experience that I think that perhaps best prepared you for management?
Oh, the experience that best prepared me for management. I don't know if it was the best experience, but it was certainly one experience, and that was my work with a gentleman named Larry Slagle. He's retired from government now. Larry Slagle, I think, was one of the finest managers that I've ever had the occasion in government to work with. And he took me under his wing when I was a junior employee as a presidential management intern and taught me the insight that management is not so much about what you say. It really is about what you do, how people watch you, how people observe you in terms of what you say you will do and how well that stacks up with what you actually do. Larry taught me a lot of practical lessons about managing. And the most important one of all of those messages were that the people who work for you truly are the most important asset that you have in your managerial toolkit. Now, we all say that, but he believed that, and he demonstrated that by how he treated those employees, both in terms of his authoritative role as the executive, but also as a colleague and a friend and a mentor. You know, his premise to me was the best declaration of a supervisor's capability is the number of people who leave that organization and go on to bigger and better things. His premise was, if you have people who leave to go on to bigger and better things, you'll never have a problem getting people to work for you because people understand and recognize success. That had a very big impact on me in my career. I tried to emulate that, perhaps not as well as he has, but that's certainly always been my goal, to recognize that where I am in part has something to do with me, but it also in part has something to do with the people who I've been fortunate to have work for me.
Well, that's very interesting, and perhaps it's not unrelated to, I guess Jim and I should congratulate you. The National Capital Area Chapter of the American Society of Public Administration awarded you the President's Award for Outstanding Public Service. Can you tell us about this award?
Well, you know, Paul, thank you very much. Let me say this. We all think we're good, you know, and all of our mothers think we're even better, right? But, you know, you come in, you try to do the best that you can. And you don't do that from the standpoint that you think you're going to get some recognition for it. You do it because you think it's the right thing to do. And lo and behold, if you're fortunate as I am, other people will see that too. And so this award, I want to believe has been for, you know, those countless days and hours, Saturdays and Sundays, not, you know, Mondays through Fridays, when you're on the phone, when you're in meetings, when you're trying to pull things together, when you're trying to help people believe in what they're doing. And so what I've tried to do is set a high standard as a public sector employee and to be able to demonstrate that to folks. So the National Academy was very kind to me in that respect. You know, they tell me that I've done some things that help people, and if all that's true, then that's good. You know, and so I was very humbled by the experience, but I was very pleased. It's the first time I've ever taken my son with me to something like that. He's a 13-year-old. And so, you know, I've said to him, I was fortunate. I got lucky. I said, but you can be a whole lot better because you are good. And so it worked out both ways. It was a rewarding night for me, but also a rewarding night for my family.
You know, well, congratulations again. I'm sure your son had a good time. It's a very interesting point. Recruiting IT professionals to join the government is a big challenge. How is it done and what skills are needed? We'll ask Ira Hobbs of the Department of Agriculture when the Business of Government Hour continues.